The more songs we sing, the more people come in the door. But we can't sing all night. You can't sing all night. Mark, is that microphone working for you? Okay, very good. I touched a button and I don't know if I should have. Thank you for coming. We plan to preach the gospel every night this week, except for Friday. So Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday after tonight. We invite you to return. As you're listening to the gospel tonight, you need to think, is God trying to give me a message? And if so, what is it? Very simple. Is God trying to give me a message? And if he is, what is he saying? Let's pray. Our Father, we are thankful that it is not our tears of repentance nor prayer, but the blood that atones for the soul. And we know that God has done so much so that we can be saved. We pray tonight, Father, that we will be honest as the Word of God is presented, and we would be thinking about what God is saying to us. We pray for them in Summerside tonight as they preach the gospel of Pope Road. We pray for the gospel as it's going forth in different places and prepares to go forth in different places. We pray for Eric Fowler and Paul Barnhart out there in Burnaby, British Columbia. And Father, we ask you to be here with us. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. Now, in the last book of your Bible, the book of Revelation, chapter 20, please. That is the book of Revelation, chapter 20. And we'll take our time finding it. The book of Revelation, chapter 20. We'll begin our reading at verse number 11. Revelation 20, verse 11. And I saw a great white throne, and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were opened. And another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books, according to their works. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them. And they were judged, every man according to their works. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. Now, I think that's all we're going to read. I have about 20 minutes, and I just want to focus on this event that's being described for us here in Revelation. To understand the book of Revelation, we need to think about what is taking place. God is giving a vision to a man of things that are yet to come. I find that remarkable about our Bible, that the Bible actually describes events that are yet to come. Well, you say, well, anybody could guess at what's going to happen, right? You can guess at what's going to happen tomorrow. You can guess who's going to be the next prime minister. You can guess a lot of things, right? But what if I told you now that in the Old Testament of your Bible, there are over 330 different specific times that it speaks about the Lord Jesus coming the first time? 330 specific items that are written hundreds of years before he came, at different times, by different people, under different circumstances, and they all came true when the Lord Jesus came to the earth. Think about this. 800 years before he came, a prophet named Micah said he would be born in Bethlehem. Micah said, Bethlehem in the land of Judah. Out of these shall come a prince. And it was prophesied that Bethlehem would be the place. Now, Bethlehem was not a major city on the earth. Bethlehem was a small little village. And Bethlehem was not well known throughout the Roman Empire. But Bethlehem was predicted, and Bethlehem is where it happened. You could talk about 1,000 years before the Lord Jesus came, how it was predicted they would pierce his hands and his feet. You can talk about 1,500 years before the Lord Jesus came, how it was prophesied that the seed of the woman would bruise the serpent's head and he would bruise his heel. 330 some different prophecies all came true. You say, why is that important to us? For this reason. If all of the Old Testament prophecies concerning Christ's first coming have come true, then that means all of the prophecies concerning his second coming will come true. So that when we talk about the Lord Jesus coming again to the air, as we have in nights past, I forget how many nights we've been preaching the gospel now, but that's okay. I forget a lot of things. But if you think about it, we preached in nights past about the Lord Jesus coming to the air, how at any moment he could come, he could give a shout, and every believer in the Lord Jesus would be removed from this earth. The dead ones in the grave, their bodies are raised first. The living ones still here in this room and in other rooms on the earth would be taken up to meet them in the clouds. That is prophesied in the scriptures. And as sure as he came the first time, he's coming the second time. We are told in the Bible that he's going to come again to the earth. Now, I know that we all have concerns. This world is becoming more and more difficult to live in because it's more and more uncertain as to what's going to happen politically, militarily, when it comes to our economy. All of those things are uncertain. But can I tell you, the Bible says there's coming a day when the King of Kings will come right down to this earth. And that he is going to set up a kingdom, and everyone in that kingdom will be treated right. And everything in that kingdom will be marked by peace. He's coming again. But I want to think with you now about something even beyond that, that we are told is going to happen. Now, we have to ask ourselves, did Jesus Christ come into the world? It's a thought-provoking question, isn't it? Did the Lord Jesus actually come into this world? I would say a resounding yes. Absolutely. Did the Lord Jesus Christ die on the cross? Yes. Absolutely. Has the Lord Jesus Christ been risen from the dead, and is he living now? Yes. Absolutely. And because of those three facts, I am absolutely sure that every sinner will meet the Lord Jesus in a coming day. And that's what we've read about tonight. It's called the judgment of the great white throne on this map. It's found in Revelation 20, where we have read. And John the apostle looks forward. He looks forward past the Lord's coming to the air. He looks forward past the Lord's coming to the earth. He looks forward past the kingdom that he sets up. And he looks into space where there is no more time. And he says, I saw. I saw a great white throne. I find it remarkable that God is going to judge his people at the judgment seat of Christ with rewards for faithfulness and loss of reward for unfaithfulness. I find it absolutely solemn and serious that at the end of the tribulation on the earth, the Lord Jesus is going to set up the throne of his glory And he's going to separate the sheep from the goats, the believers from the unbelievers on the earth. But there's nothing quite so awe-inspiring as understanding that after existing in hell for at least 1,000 years, souls will be called to stand before God. What makes this throne most remarkable is the person who's sitting on it. I hope in nights past we have all understood that the Lord Jesus is kind. He is kind, he's gracious, and he is loving. He is merciful, and he is compassionate, and he only wants what's best for you. So you could take your name and say, Jesus loves, insert your name, right? I can say, Jesus loves Brody. Jesus loves David. There's another Brody. Jesus loves the other Brody, right? There are two of us. But you can take your name and you can put it in there. Jesus loves me. And the way we know that he loves us is because he died on the cross to put away our sin. That really is an interesting verse from that hymn, isn't it? We were reading. It's the one before it is not thy tears of repentance nor prayers, but the blood that atones for the soul. That blood that was shed by the Lord Jesus on the cross, right? Why was he there, we are told, as the bearer of sin? Now, have you ever asked yourself that question? Why was he there if it wasn't for my guilt? Why was he there if it wasn't to pay my debt? But he was there. Why? Because he loves you. And tonight, he is calling you. He is calling you through the gospel. He has intervened in your life. Now, it may not seem convenient, and at times it's not, but God has actually intersected your life in such a way so as to get you to stop, so he can get your attention and say, come, and I will give you rest. He is calling you tonight. Come. Now, the same Christ who came into the world to save sinners, the same Lord Jesus who tonight is saying, come unto me, is going to be the man who sits on this throne. But instead of saying, come unto me in that day, the earth and the heaven are going to flee away from him. Why? Because on the great white throne, he is not calling sinners to repent. He is judging sinners for their sin. Totally different setting now, but the same man. And we are told that when the heaven and the earth flee away, now that's the stars and the sun and the moon and the clouds, it all tries to flee away from this man. And the earth itself, seeking a place to hide. We're told there's found no place. And men and women, boys and girls, will be looking to hide their face from the wrath of the one who sits on the throne, and there'll be no place to hide. John saw it. Now, if you put yourself, follow me just for a second. Let's go back in time, okay? The closer I get to this wall, the further back in time we're going. We're going back in time, okay? Right to the Garden of Eden. When God says there's coming a day when the Lord Jesus will be born and he'll die on the cross. And from that day, now you're talking 4,000 years before it happened. 4,000 years. You can look from here to the cross and you can say, it happened, right? Then you look at a man like Moses who's living right about here, a little closer to the cross, right? But Moses predicts that the Lord Jesus will come in fulfillment of all of the scriptures that were written by Moses. And you look to the cross and you look to the Lord Jesus and he came. There's a man named Micah. We talked about him. Then a man named Isaiah, 600 years before the Lord Jesus came. He told us that he would suffer and why he would suffer. But all of those things were fulfilled at the cross. Now I want you to think about John. He's looking back at the cross, but he's looking forward to this. And the same way that all of those prophecies were fulfilled at the cross, John is absolutely sure that that great white throne judgment will take place. And he sees not just a throne, but the people around the throne. Because he says, I saw the dead ones, small and great, stand before God. Who are the dead ones? I should be speaking proper English so that people who are learning English won't make any mistakes. But who are these dead ones, small and great? Now, it's not just the people who are short that he calls small and the people who are tall that he calls great. What's he say? These are the ones who are the great people of the earth, the kings and the presidents and the bishops and the leaders of the earth, the great ones. They all will have to stand before God. Why? Because the Bible tells us every knee shall bow and every tongue will confess to God. So that means that whoever's on the throne in any country right now, if they don't trust Christ and have their sins forgiven, they will stand here before God. It means that all of the rulers of the world in the past and all of the rulers of the world in the future, if they don't have their sins forgiven, they'll stand here before God. The great ones. You don't have to mention names. Just all of them. But then there's also what we would call the small ones, like you and me. People who aren't famous. We just live our life, right? We live our life from day to day, doing whatever it takes just to get by. But remember this. Every single person who doesn't have their sins forgiven will stand here before God. When you're walking out of here tonight, you're going to be shaking hands with a man, two men, who are not going to be on this earth forever. We're both going to die, or the Lord will come, and we'll be in eternity. According to the Bible, because we have Christ as our Savior and our sins are forgiven, our eternity will be with God in heaven. But you're going to shake hands. Hopefully, you're friendly with everybody, right? Could it be that there's someone tonight that I will shake hands with and their eternity will include the great white throne? See, it's very possible. Because no one will miss it if they're not forgiven. But then he said he saw books. Now watch, he's looking and he sees the throne and he sees the man on the throne and he sees the earth and the heaven trying to flee away. And then he sees the dead ones, the small ones and the great ones, and they're all standing before God. And then he sees the books are opened. And these books that are opened are very important books, right? I am convinced, based on the teaching of the Lord Jesus, that his word will be at the great white throne judgment, so that the Bible will be one of those books. Why? Two reasons. Number one, it is the Bible that reveals the mind of God to us, tells us about sin, tells us about the Savior, tells us about salvation, right? But it is also the Bible that will prove our guilt. The Bible will prove our guilt. And with all of those people standing there in front of the great white throne, the Bible is there. And then there's a book called the Book of Life. And everyone who is saved, a born-again believer on the Lord Jesus, has their name written in the Book of Life. The Book of Life is there at this judgment, so that the Bible is there and the Book of Life is there. But we're also told that there's another record in heaven, right? It's the record of your sins, so that God keeps a record of your personal sins. So every lie, every swear word, every bad thought, everything you've stolen, right? All of that is kept track of, so that it's itemized in the books that God has, with the Bible there to prove our guilt, with the book of life there to show the names that are in the book of life, and with the record of your sins. God will judge you individually. See? And then they look. They open the book of life. And we are told that whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. Now, I need you to remember this because the Bible says it. There are two things that you're going to remember about tonight if you miss Christ. You'll remember a man who tried his best to warn you. And you'll remember the Bible that was clear and plain. Whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. Our brother Darrell preached last night on heaven and hell. And I'm just furthering that a little bit to tell you that hell is not the final destination. Just to trace it now, if a sinner dies tonight in their sins, we heard from our brother Darrell, we were told, you shall die in your sins, and where I am, that is heaven, you cannot come. So if a sinner dies in their sins, their body goes into the grave, and their soul goes into real fire in hell. It is after this that they stand before the judgment of the great white throne that we've been speaking of, and then from there to be cast into the lake of fire, which will never go out, and where souls will never burn up. As our brother David preaches the gospel, you need to know what's at stake. What's at stake is not whether or not you become a Christian. What's at stake is whether or not you spend eternity in the lake of fire. It's heaven or it's hell forever. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire.